This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I have a story that I need your help on today. Today. Because it means that someone will live or die, possibly tonight or tomorrow. We need to move quickly on a story that is, well, it could be you. It could be you. And it's happening in Tucson, Arizona. And I tell you about it in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Patricia Adamas has a son, David. He suffered a stroke on New Year's Eve. He was transported to the emergency department. This is a guy who was just wildly alive. He was taken to ICU, and he became comatose. 13 days later, they say he's brain dead, he's unresponsive, and we're going to cut off all of his food and his water and his breathing tube. I have wrestled with this for a very long time, starting with Terry Schiavo. And this is wrong to do to people, and we must not go down this road. Patricia Adamas, the mother, is on the phone with us now. She's going in just a few minutes to meet with the hospital and get an update and plead the case to please don't kill her son. And I so appreciate her being on the phone with us now. Patricia, how are you?
I'm really, it's a very difficult time.
Patricia, tell us, they didn't really consult with you guys, did they? When they started to just cut off his food and water?
That's correct. They did not.
Tell me what happened at that time, and is he responsive at all? Because I understand when you're talking to him, when family members talk to him, he is moving.
Yeah, so it was a surprise initially. The first question, it was a surprise. We weren't informed that they were going to stop food. Everything was done, you know, and a discovery of, well, surprise, there's no hydration. There's no, you know, we're not going to continue. So it was a surprise and shock, which was very difficult, let alone to deal with everything that was happening in the hospital. I'm sorry, forgive me. What was your second question?
That it was a surprise, and also is he responsive?
He is very, very emaciated, hydrated, very weak and frail. His bones are protruding from the skin, so he's not as responsive. Yesterday and today, it's very delayed. But yes, he did respond when we talked. I would tell him, you know, sweetheart, are you hungry? Would you like to come to the table to eat? He'd lift his foot. My mother would walk in and say, hi, sweetheart, it's grandma, you know. And he would immediately lift his, you know, his foot. And he tries so hard. Just Wednesday at 8 o'clock, a friend of his went in and said, hey, David, you know, and he just was shaking his foot. It was different than the lifting. He was literally shaking his foot, and he lifted it and was shaking it. And that's the last of the, you know, that type of energy. Now his responses are very faint. I'm very concerned because he's severely dehydrated.
I've seen the pictures of him just 3-4 weeks ago, and the picture of him today, he's not the same man. He looks like he is, you know, as he is starving to death. What are you, Patricia, what are you asking the hospital today? And why won't they give you even custody of him?
Well, I have guardianship in a federal court of law. We're Native American. But what I'm asking today and being very adamant in asking in continuum is for my son to be provided intravenous hydration, and then at some point nutrition, and then the thyroid that is very essential to his stability and recovery, you know, because the idea is the hospital's intent or alleged or stated intent is to help us transfer him to receive continued services, which would be New Jersey or some other place that would take him. But you don't do that intentionally and not provide the vital sustenance to get him there. So it's almost a default. It's not very humane, and I don't understand it. The other thing I'm asking for is to be properly informed, you know, to be given the dignity and the respect without that, you know, we're going to remove the ventilator at any minute and, you know, things like that. Like, we're going to take, this is the last thing he has sustaining him, we're going to take that. You know, it's not humane to live or to feel that there is the spirit of recovery or any sense of stability for my son, or the underlying intent that is not in alignment with the alleged care of the hospital. So we're asking that that immediately the hydration and the nutrition continue, that my son be allowed dignity, respect, and the care to be sustained until, you know, the statements of the hospital to transfer him to a long-term care facility.
And this is,
and to allow me
this
to
is,
be informed.
This is St. Joseph's Hospital. So this is a Catholic hospital. You would think that life would be paramount to them. And he could have been transferred, but now he is so weak from starving him to death that the idea of transferring him to a place for longer care is probably not an option today. Patricia, I know you need to get to the hospital, and we're praying for your son. And I have Bobby Schindler on the phone. Thank you, and Godspeed, and we'll check in again to find out what's happening. We're going to go to Bobby Schindler, who is Terry Schiavo's brother. And Bobby and I became friends, if you're new to the show, over his sister. I was on the wrong side of it for a while. And then I didn't do the easy thing. I did the hard thing, and I actually thought about it, prayed about it, read about it, and did soul searching. And we do not, in human society, since when do we consider food an extraordinary measure? We feed our babies. We give water to our babies. We give water to our dogs. You go to jail if you don't give water to your dog. You go to jail if you leave your dog in a hot car. What are we doing to people? And this is a bright line that we must all draw. And Bobby and I will talk about that in 1 minute. Bobby Schindler, president of Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, one of the great American heroes of our time, he and his family, and what they have done because of his sister, Terry Schiavo. I talked to Bobby yesterday. We exchanged emails. He was on his way to Arizona, and I had just heard about it. And so we connected. And Bobby, what do we need to do? How can we help?
Well, Glenn, I got to tell you, it seems to me we've become desensitized to what's going on in this hospital. I went to visit David, and when I saw him, I had saw videos of him on a Facebook post that Patricia had produced, and it is gut-wrenching to see this young man who really hasn't given an opportunity to see if, in fact, he is able to recover, to see him starving and dehydrating to death like this. It just brought back terrible memories, and also the fact, Glenn, this is happening every single day across countless healthcare facilities in our country. And where is the outrage? Where are people supporting this woman's efforts to try and stop this from happening? I don't understand the mindset or the mentality of why the hospital is not giving this young man the opportunity for to respond to treatment. What is the rush? I mean, we're fighting for time here, Glenn. We're not doctors. I don't know his long-term prognosis. But to cut off treatment in such a short period of time, to me, is just, it's terrible.
Bobby, he has two young, he has two young daughters. And if you see the pictures of him 3 weeks ago, he was a vibrant guy. You know, he was, I mean, the pictures I've seen of him, he was alive and fit. And then 3 weeks later, he looks like he's in Ethiopia. And one of the starving victims. And he is, except it's in an American hospital. What does...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
I just urge people to go to Facebook. You can go to our Life and Hope Network, Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network Facebook page, and watch the videos that Patricia's making of her son and to see his condition. The brain is very complex, Glenn. We have stories after stories of people that just need time for the brain to recover. But when you cut off his nourishment and his hydration from within days of his initial accident, you're doing exactly what the brain doesn't need. And his brain, and he's compromised now. So until he gets nutrition and hydration, he's not going to have the opportunity for the brain to try and recover. And that's what we're fighting for now. Treat it so he gets the strength so we can, in fact, try and transfer him out of that facility. And the fact that it's a Catholic facility doing this is extremely troubling. I don't even know, Glenn, if they tried to wean him off the ventilator to see if he would have the capability of breathing on his own. Because, of course, if he was able to breathe on his own, they couldn't starve and dehydrate him to death. But I think they're using the ventilator as a reason to stop his food and hydration.
Why, Bobby? Why would they do that?
Well, you know, I think, Glenn, I don't think it's difficult to see what's happening here. I think this is a cost issue. If they look at someone like David, who's going to need long-term cost, well, it's a lot more affordable to stop treatment sooner rather than later to save the hospital what could be long-term cost. And I don't know what other reason they come to these decisions so quickly. They, as I keep saying over and over again, Glenn, this boy needs an opportunity to recover. And the fact that they cut off nutrition so quickly, I don't understand it. And we, Glenn, deal with so many cases like this today. We've been doing this for 14 years. Mm-hmm. I've lost count of the cases of families that call us that are going through the same type of situation. It's heartbreaking.
Is it worse since you fought for your sister?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt with the calls that we're getting, Glenn. And who knows how frequently this is happening across our healthcare system. I'm not trying to paint a picture of our healthcare facilities. I mean, we deal with wonderful facilities and doctors and nurses every day. And I don't know that it's the ethics of the doctors that are pushing this, Glenn. I think it's more coming from administrators and insurance companies that do not want to provide the resources needed to help these people when they're faced with these types of traumatic brain injuries and serious brain injuries. When they see the long-term care potential and the fact that they can save a lot of money by stopping care, you know, I think that's perhaps is what's driving these administrators to stop treatment much, much too quick.
So you have people now, Bobby, across the nation. We're running out of time for this guy. You saw him. He could die tomorrow, could die today. And he needs to have liquid, and he needs to, have hydration, and then, you know, some nourishment to be able to get his strength back. People who are listening now, what do they do?
Well, as I said, I would urge them to go to Facebook. I would urge them to contact the bishop of the Diocese of Tucson. This is a Catholic-run hospital. I don't know that it's a diocese hospital. I don't know if it's a hospital operated by the diocese. Nonetheless, I think the bishop would have authority to intervene, to at least plead with this hospital to provide this young man care until we find a facility that would be able to so we could transfer him to a facility that would be willing to treat him. It's very difficult to do that, but we're trying, and we're hopeful that we can find one. If there's a facility out there perhaps that's listening, someone that works for a facility that might be willing to contact Patricia or the hospital to see if, in fact, they would accept him on transfer. I mean, that would be very helpful. I don't know if it's a good idea, Glenn, to bombard the hospital with phone calls at this mm-hmm. point. I don't know if that would be helpful, but it would be helpful to try and plead with the bishop, Bishop Weissenberger, I believe his name is, here in Tucson, to intervene.
Do you happen to know how you'd contact? Do you have a number or anything?
I don't have it in front of me, but
okay, I'll tweet it or Facebook, and I'll get it in a few minutes. Bishop Weissenberger is his name.
It's in the Diocese of Tucson. And we're asking for time, Glenn. I mean, it's been less than a month that this happened to this young man. And what is the rush to end his life and to starve and dehydrate him to death without giving him the opportunity? We're fighting for time, and I think that is the least that this hospital and these administrators can give this young man, particularly with the mother saying how responsive he was, at least initially. I mean, it's getting harder for him every day because he's being compromised by a lack of food and hydration.
Correct. Bobby, I don't know how you do it all the time. I don't know how you just relive your worst part of your life with your sister, but you have dedicated your life to this, and you're a hero. You're a modern-day hero, and I'm honored to know you. And just keep us informed and tell us what we can do to help.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for covering this. God bless you. I really appreciate it.
Bobby Schindler from the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network.
They're really going after life on both ends.
They are.
You know, the beginning and the end of it.
They strapped down a woman in the Netherlands. They have this right to die thing, and they are actually euthanizing. 25% of all deaths in the Netherlands last year was from euthanizing. Mm. They're putting people down like dogs. And it's because people have lost any sensitivity to it. And it's getting so bad that a couple of months ago, a woman in the Netherlands was held down by the doctors because she said, hey, when I get to this point, if I ever get to this point, please just end my life. She signed off on it. Well, she got to that point and she said, no, I don't know. I'm fine. They actually had to hold her down, strap her down as she was crying out, I want to live, as they euthanized her, as they killed her. We can't allow these things to happen in our country. We cannot go dead inside. Please, please take action.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So a lot has changed in America, and yet things remain very much the same. We are in a battle of the titans. We really are. And the titans are the two parties and the media. And I would include technology now, the technology media companies. They are, however this is won, whoever is on top when the dust settles, that's the new world. And there is no one now that you can go to for help, it seems. Who do you cry out for help when the government has gone crazy? If you're on the right, not the media. Who do you go to cry out for help when your son or daughter is in a hospital and they're starving them to death because they had a brain injury and they're declared dead, even though they're responding to you, they're declared brain dead. And they don't just take out the ventilator. They leave the ventilator in and then starve and dehydrate your loved one. Who do you go to? Will you go to more and more diminishing voices that will take a stand, but because of the media and because of the politicians and because of tech, those voices are being diminished and they're being walled up. We are at a point of choosing, and we need your help. We need to get together. We need to be able to have a common purpose. And that purpose is not to elect the next president. is not to defeat another party, but it's to save the Republic and the Constitution. We must save the rights of mankind. And with places like New York celebrating the fact that the unborn do not count as people. Up until the point, their legs and their shoulders can be out of the mother, but as long as the head remains in the birth canal, that is not a baby and you can kill it. They're celebrating this. And what are we doing? Last week, we told you about these Catholic kids that had gone and stood for life. About six of them were wearing a Make America Great Again hat, and a Native American came and hassled them. But now that is not the way the story unfolded in the media, and I'm not going to rehash it. But what the media was saying is these kids don't even understand justice, mercy. But it's not justice. It's social justice. And the difference between justice and social justice is it is a religion. And there is original sin. And the way social justice is interpreted in America and in the West, the sinner is the white man. And so you will pay for the sins of those who came before you. Original sin. Well, I'm sorry. But if there is such a thing as original sin, which I don't believe in, if there is, only God can sort that one out. But that's what the media and social justice warriors think they're doing, is providing justice. Now, let me show you the justice that they are doing. They think that this man, Nathan Phillips, last week, a Native American, was sneered at by a white kid who is privileged. And so he can't possibly understand the plight of a Native American. They last week delivered social justice. But for those of us who care about justice, let me take this apart. Today, a Native American is in a white man's hospital. In fact, a Catholic hospital. And he's being denied food and water. Cruel and unusual punishment. He's being denied food and water. And the press is silent. The press will say nothing. The press will not pick him up as a cause. Well, social justice would demand, if I'm using Saul Alinsky's tactics of we've got to hold the other side to their own rules because they will never live up to them, I'd like to point out that here's a Native American being wronged by a white man's hospital and you're doing nothing. Where's your social justice now? Where your social justice falls apart because you're not really serving justice. If you go after this hospital, you're actually hurting your cause. Because you're saying that people should have a right to life. People should have a right to their own health care the way they deem. And what you believe is a right to health care is only a right for the government to choose. Last week, they delivered social justice to Nick Sandman. That's the kid. Social justice was done. But I looked at that kid and I thought, that could be my kid. And I think a lot of Americans, hopefully, looked at him and said, that could be my kid. And my kid might do or say stupid things. This kid didn't. He just wore a hat. That was it. And what happened to him? Social justice. But I don't want social justice happening to my kid. And if the left were to live up to their own statements, I believe it was Barack Obama who said about Trayvon Martin, this could be my kid. I looked at that kid and it could have been my kid. Well, now, does race, is that the only factor in this? Don't answer that, social justice warriors. Because honestly, your answer is almost the seed. No, it isn't almost. It is the seed to every great genocide and crime against humanity. Yes, race is what matters. The Westboro Baptist Church. Look how the media does this. Westboro Baptist Church. Are we all clear? Westboro Baptist Church is really crazy. Dangerous. Yeah, it's one family. Westboro Baptist Church. But how about the black Israelites? The black Israelite Hebrews? You know, the ones the media described as four older black men that were terrorizing everybody, including Native Americans, at the mall with Nick Sandman. What about them? Or Louis Farrakhan? Is he an extremist? No. Because the media has chosen a side. And the media is now for social justice, not actual justice. And this is why we're so upset. We think they're just biased towards Democrats, but they're not. They are now social justice warriors. So they're not going to point out Louis Farrakhan. They're not going to point out the black Israelite Hebrews. They will point out this white church, the Westboro Baptist Church, but they won't point it out as a standalone. What they'll do is they'll smear that as all white Christianity. And that white Christianity apparently covers those in Covington. However, it doesn't seem to count the St. Joseph's Hospital in Tucson that's killing the Native American today. You see how this works? The Tea Party is racist, but not the Women's March. One of them is proven racist. One is not. The Tea Party was a group that they were all anti-government. They wanted to overthrow the government. They were anarchists. But Antifa is not. This is the world of social justice. And if you are a thug and you want to, well, you want to do what many people who were young in Germany in the 1930s were very excited for. If you want to go ahead and make your mark on the world and you know how to game this system, you go right ahead. I'm not going with you. And I don't know anybody in my circle of friends that want to go with you. And those include Democrats. They are afraid because they know history. They saw what happened before. Social justice warriors need thugs and enforcers. And the media has become that enforcer. And if you think I'm wrong, well, just explain this. How is it that when Trump shuts down the government because the Democrats will not negotiate on national security, something that he feels is important, just negotiate. He would have given you anything. Just negotiate. He's the problem. He's the extremist. However, when Obama shut down the government because the Republicans would not negotiate over Obamacare, something Obama believed was of national security importance, the GOP was the extremist. They won't even negotiate. Donald Trump will negotiate, and yet he's the one holding people hostage. The GOP are open to reasonable negotiation. They've offered negotiation. Trump has offered negotiation. The Democrats refuse any negotiation, and they're not the extremists. The ones who will negotiate are. A republic cannot survive. Tomorrow we begin a national conversation. Tomorrow we're going to make this free and commercial free. It's going to be on all of our platforms, not on television. It's commercial free. You have to go to blazetv.com/Beck. You go there, you sign up, you watch tomorrow. It's a 2-hour special. A lot of our hosts, as many as we can get on, we have 30 different shows now. We're bringing all of them in for an opening discussion on the media meltdown, because we either all have to hang together or we will hang separately. The media is up for grabs right now, and they're playing for keeps. And they have their last gasp to reach out beyond the grave and grab anyone and pull them down to keep their head above water. But the Republic cannot survive with this media. And tomorrow we are going to show you exactly all of the cases. Here's the media. Inconsistency, inconsistency. What do you do? When they will lie about videotape, about an event where the videotape exists, there it is. There he's doing it. It's the exact opposite of what you say. When they go that far, what else are they willing to do? Media meltdown tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m. 6 to 8 p.m. only on Blaze TV, online only. Go and sign up right now, blazetv.com/Beck. That is tomorrow, commercial free. Very important. Join us tomorrow night. Jeremy Hunt, the British foreign minister, arrived in Washington last week. A whole bunch of meetings dominated by this question. Should Great Britain risk its relationship with Beijing and agree with the Trump administration's request to ban the big Chinese technology company that is pushing 5G? China leads the telecommunications along with the United States. They are building the next generation computer and phone networks called the 5G network. Britain is not the only American ally feeling the heat. Poland also under pressure from the United States. And the bad guy here, Germany is also under this. The bad guy here is Donald Trump. The Chinese are using Donald Trump and saying it's just him and he just wants to hurt everybody and blah, blah, blah. The 5G network is game-changing. 5G, fifth generation of communications. The 5G network takes away all latency problems and makes the pipeline for communication so big and so fast that you will have driving cars. Your refrigerator will be reporting what food you have in. It is the beginning of a complete and total surveillance state. Now, it's what's called surveillance capitalism, which is like, hey, if you want things to work well for you, then you need to have that information reported, blah, blah, blah. But with Chinese, if the Chinese technology is the one that is providing the spine, they have access to all information and all products and services. It must not be done for national security reasons.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.